WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome in to WVUA 90.7 FM, the Capstone, on this Wednesday night. We are bringing you a playoff week edition of Student Section MLB, and we're so excited. I am Will Miller, joined tonight once again by Luke Torrey
and Carson Keel.
And we are going to open this show up with the division clinching scenarios. We had the last division clinched in baseball, actually really just this week, and we're going to turn that over to Carson so he can break it down for us.
Well, Memorial Day has come and gone. Tomorrow, matter of the fact, is June the 1st. We just showed you the NL East standings. You don't need me to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. The NL East is over. That's right. It's a wrap. No one is touching the Mets. Sal Acuña, very famous SNY personality, on June the 1st of 2020. It is now October the 6th. The Braves touch the Mets. It's over. It's over. The NL East is over. You love this.
Well, thank you, Sal, for that great analysis. As we know, the Mets surely will not squander their 10.5-game division lead to a team 4 games out of 500, 50 games into the year. I know that the Mets, even as meme-worthy, for lack of a better term, as they truly are, I know that no team in baseball can be as inept from the top down as to squander such an advantage. It's almost a guarantee into a bye in the playoffs. Oh, wait.
Oh, no. And by the way, the plethora of Mets fans who are out there saying this was not a collapse, you are wrong.
It was a collapse.
It was a collapse. You had a 10.5-game lead over, I think, the Phillies. At one point, it was the Braves sometimes, because the Braves, of course, had a terrible April and May. Yeah, this was a collapse. Welcome back to reality. The same thing that we've seen with you.
Guys, one word comes to mind here, and I feel like I would be remiss if I didn't give us a fair opportunity to put this wonderful word out over the air for everybody. And that word is lull Mets.
That is a wonderful word.
I thought you were going to say sweep.
Oh, that's another good word.
Yes, these are both things that happened to the Mets in the past week, and we should celebrate, we should rejoice, because honestly, I just think it's as simple. I think times are better when the New York Mets are losing.
Yankees run New York.
Yep.
Well, that's always been the case. Again, the Mets have not won a ring since 86. So, again.
It's been a while for the Yankees, too, until this year.
Well, at least the Yankees have won a ring.
Yes.
They won a ring this year, unlike the Mets.
And in 2023.
Yes.
And, yes. I mean, the question has to be asked, guys. I know I'm old hat with this remark, but who's to say the Yankees wouldn't have one, maybe two more World Series banners were it not for a certain franchise known to be cheating
Trastos
on levels never before seen in professional baseball since the Black Sox game.
Yes.
Who knows? Anyway, but...
I do.
Look, the Mets, they just had to win one game.
And they didn't.
I think that's the biggest thing about losing this series. The Mets only had to win one game and the NL East was theirs.
I saw the percentages of like fan drafts to win the NL East before and after the series. The Mets had like a 71% or something
79%.
To win before, and then after, obviously, zero. It was the Braves game.
Yeah, it was 98%, I believe, after the Braves had swept the Mets, and it was a... Really, a clinic. I mean, the Mets led on Sunday for a good portion of the game, but you know, as the Mets do.
I did call that last week. I said the Mets bullpen is going to sell them because with Edwin Diaz's late struggles, and what do you know, what happened?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of crazy. I mean, again, like I said, the Mets only had to win one game. They literally threw out the entire thing. They had DeGrom. They had Scherzer. They had Bassett, who's basically like their best starter that's not an ace compared to DeGrom and Scherzer. So, they were like trying to lock this thing down, and they couldn't. Because guess what? While the Mets have great pitching, besides the bullpen a little bit, you could say, they have zero power in that batting lineup. They're good for RBIs. They're good for getting you on second. They are not good for getting you home. That's the Mets issue.
Well, I think that with the Mets, they can't string that together, and I think it's also a problem in Alabama baseball this 2022 season. They could get the hits, it just either wouldn't come with men on base, or once they got them on, They couldn't cross them. You know, it was, I feel like the Mets have got great bats in their lineup. I really do. Let's look at, you know, the National League batting champion, Jeff McNeil, who clinched the crown with a .326 average this season. And that's, you know, that's a real number. That's not
just flying squirrel.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the best nicknames in all of sport.
I like it.
And you got, you know, the free agency splurges were good for him. I would say Eduardo Escobar was a huge addition to the Mets.
Very underrated.
Yeah, I agree, Luke. Yeah. Great addition to them. You know, Mark Canna has up and down, but I mean, look, I think they're better with him than without him. And those are just some of the examples. And I think the Mets added a lot to their team. I think it paid off for them. They won 100 games, and they have a great chance to be in the National League pennant race, even though they were pumped down to the wild card position. I don't think that takes much off the fact that this is a real team. And as much as, you know, I hate to say it, and I'm sure that another Lull Mets is coming, by the way.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about it when it's coming up. San Diego is starting to get kind of hot.
If everything clicks for the Mets, they could make a deep run, I think. But
the issue is
the odds of the everything clicking for the Mets is not very high, in my opinion.
Yeah. Just because, they're facing probably the two teams you don't want to face right now. You're starting to get warm. San Diego Padres.
Mm-hmm. They don't need much, do they?
Yeah.
That's a lineup of power.
Yeah.
With or without Tatis.
Yes. And look at Juan Soto, you know, starting to go yard.
Yep. And he is known to do well in the postseason. And Machado turning into I guess you consider him a vet at this point. He has shown that he can produce in the
And playoffs. I'll tell you what, that is some kind of dangerous if Juan Soto, if his bat is hot going into the postseason. I mean, that's one of the most dangerous players that you could have in your lineup. And if you're the Mets, particularly with some of the struggles they've been having, you do not want, and with DeGrom, you know, clearly being somewhat off, you don't want this. Yeah. You don't need this right now.
And then again, you get past San Diego somehow, what do you face next? The Dodgers.
Absolute 0% chance the Mets beat the Dodgers in that series.
Yes, unless they have a miracle happen in the playoffs.
Not even a miracle.
Or if they could come back, maybe that would be something that
there would have to be. There would have to be four miracles for the Mets.
For the record, Mets, I don't like you, but I hope against hope that you will beat the Dodgers. The Mets will be America's team in that series, I have no doubt in my mind, because I think everybody wants to see the juggernaut, the Dodgers, go down because, you know, baseball, I think that a lot of fans don't want to see it be a pay-to-win game, and I think that's what the Dodgers have done. And, you know, there's always going to be your big market teams making splashes from a money standpoint. I mean, I know that Luke will definitely want his Yankees to make a splash with a certain high-profile free agent to be, but we will get to that in a later segment.
Let him be a free agent. It's not
my thing. But with what the Dodgers have done is on another level from that.
It's on the salary cap. Also,
yeah,
you know, I don't know how.
They lost out last season. They should have lost in 2020. After that happened, I think they just decided, you know, screw getting in the trenches and competing. You know, we're just going to buy a title. And I don't think that very many fans want to see that.
Yeah, again, the Dodgers are basically the epitome of what the Yankees used to be, if you ask me. Again, look, you may not like this description, but they were the team everyone saw that you thought just by talent you could go from there. They didn't develop anybody. That's now the Dodgers. So.
Yeah, at least now we're developing people.
Yeah, at least now. But, again, the Mets have such a hard series. Like, again, you're facing. Now, it does help. You have those three games against the Padres at home at Citi Field. That's
DeGrom,
a big
plus. DeGrom, Scherzer, Bassett, home.
That's a big plus. Again, the issue is, though, you don't want a team being really hot before the postseason. That's a big issue. Mm-hmm. Then the Dodgers. And then you really hope maybe the Braves don't come back and face them in the NLCS, because I don't see the Braves holding them again.
I don't see the Mets winning a 7-game series against the Braves. I really don't. I mean, the Braves narrowly won that season series against the Mets, but the statement they made and what they showed in the deciding series for the NL East crown, I think, told the baseball world that the Mets don't want to see them anymore.
Yeah, because the Braves are built like a playoff team. Are they supposed to be super pretty in the regular season? Not exactly.
And they're not.
Yeah. But in the postseason, you know, they're built to get some good runs in. They're meant to stun you, and that's it.
Yeah, and I would like to also point out that I hope the Phillies win the wild card series, because I don't think mentally I can stomach another Braves-Cardinals NLDS game after what happened the previous one, which I didn't even have the opportunity to turn on before it was over.
Yeah. I mean, I would be really interested in that, but I'd be much more interested in seeing the Phillies kind of squeak their way through three games so that way we can just put them down again.
I want no part of facing the Cardinals in the postseason really ever again. I would be okay with it. I really would. And I love the Cardinals. I love Albert Pujols. I think they've got a fantastic team, and the stories they've written this season, the achievements that they've set, the group they've done it with, and the baseball world tuning in has been a big part of what's made this baseball season so great. But you know what? Not every story has a fairy tale ending, and unfortunately it seems to me that the way what my heart is telling me is this is one of those that I don't want there to be a fairy tale ending. I don't want to even see the Cardinals make it out of the wild card round. And take solace, Redbird fans, because at the very least, if that's the case, Albert Pujols will play his last career games in the confines of Busch Stadium. That's that in and of itself is a fantastic thing. So I really believe that.
I mean, do they even put him on the postseason roster?
I don't think they put it out yet.
Yeah, I mean, like, but is that even a possibility? Like,
yes, the way he's been hitting the ball since July, yes, you put him in the postseason.
Yeah.
He really has been one of the best players with a bat in at least the division.
Yeah.
So I think there's no way you can leave him off the playoff roster. I don't think you could anyway, unless you blast him. But that's just a baseball fan and me talking, and I'm not a baseball fan, even though they have a great stadium. But, you know, with that in mind, we'll break down that series of Cardinals in three games against the Phillies. We'll break that down in a later segment. But I think that we should recap also. We talked about it last week, but I think we need to recap who has taken all the other divisions and I guess how we felt about it.
Talk about, of course, NL Central. I think that was locked up by the time we had the show last week.
Yeah. The Cardinals won.
Yeah, I mean, of course, Cardinals. Everyone kind of saw it coming after the Brewers kind of were weird at the trade deadline, where it seemed like they were more selling than buying. Again, the Brewers had a chance to go in the wild card. We know how that went. But NL Central, that's definitely the weakest of the National League divisions. I think we all agree for that. So, NL West, that was locked up finally at the start of September, so not really much to talk about there.
That was locked up by opening game. That was locked. Yeah, I agree. I mean, of course, Luke, that depends on what you bet at the Giants. 111 games. You may not see that again. I mean, that's a number right there, guys. I'm going to tell you that. But Dodgers take the West, Cardinals take the Central, Braves take the East. Shift in the American League. I know that Luke is happy about how the East panned out. Very, very happy with them. The Yankees take the division. They finally get one back on the Rays, who have won it the last couple of seasons. And needless to say, there's no doubt that not even just the Yankees fans, but a lot of American League fans are unhappy. The Blue Jays have been on an upward trajectory. Obviously, the Red Sox have been on this year, but I mean, the Red Sox are the Rays. But Yankees are back on top. Feels like you could be saying that a lot. Like I said, you could have said it in other years. Certainly not cheated. But anyway, Yankees take the East. I mean, the AL Central is and has been for years baseball's deepest division. The Cleveland Guardians came out of the division with the number three seed in the American League playoffs. And then in the American League West, lo and behold, you have said cheating team, the Houston Astros / Astros, if you're a purist. They have won the division. I believe they won over 100 games. Is that right?
106, the Astros.
Yeah, okay. So triple-digit wins. Check out those home road sports, people.
55 and 26 at home, 51 and 30 on the road.
Oh, huh. So maybe they're not cheating. Yeah. Finally. Okay. Who can be sure? But those are your six division winners. Those will be your 1, 2, 3 on each side of the bracket in the baseball playoffs. We're going to take our first break. I promise once again we will talk about those series and how we think the bracket's going to shape out. It should be another great postseason, the first year of the expanded format, which we will also run through. But after this break, we're going to talk about something perhaps a lot more timely, prudent, and some might say important, another historic achievement for baseball. Stay tuned to hear more here on 90.7 The Factor.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back again to Student Section MLB on this Wednesday night for this second segment. Once again, I'm Will Moore, joined by my co-host,
Luke Torrey.
And Carson Gill.
Very esteemed group we have here, as always. And as promised, we are going to talk about yet another historic achievement in what has been a great season for baseball at long last. Aaron Judge did it. Finally. He hit number 62. He broke the record for most home runs in a single season in the American League. And really, if you are one of those baseball fans that likes to omit steroid achievements, he is the single season home run king.
And I will stand by that. He is the single season home run king.
I agree. I think everyone here agrees. Look, what Bonds did, you know, it was incredible. But, excuse me, he was on the news. So I do not count.
My JCM 331 professor does count, as he has been making clear on Twitter.
Look at it that way. Like, Judge, early in the season against the Orioles at their new stupid ballpark, hit four balls in one series off the top of the wall. That's four home runs right there. There's probably other balls that he hit off the wall that if he was on juice, those are gone. And look at it. He's 11 away. Right? It was 73 with Bonds had. So I think if Judge is using roids, he beats that record easily. I think I will stand by that forever. But one thing I do want to talk about, Judge, as great of a season as he had, undoubtedly the MVP, is out of the Triple Crown now. He's not winning Triple Crown.
Rocco Baldelli, you suck.
Scum win, sitting through his eyes to four or five straight games.
And then four.
Playing him in this game today. And Judge sits. Judge finishes the year second in average at 311 behind Arias, who finished at 316. First with 62 homers and first with 131 RBIs. Undoubtedly the greatest season we've seen since 2012.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically one of the greatest baseball seasons ever for a player. I mean, can you think of another one? Like, I can't think of one.
I mean, Miguel Cabrera won the Triple Crown in 2012, but I don't even think that compares to the season Judge
put together this year. Did he even
pass
40 home runs?
Probably not.
Yeah. I think he did.
Let me check. I will check on that, and we will update you guys. But while we do that, I think that it's important to note that Aaron Judge was something to this Yankees team that even Miguel Cabrera was not.
When the team was struggling, Judge was there to carry the squad.
Yeah, he literally carried that team to the playoffs.
When we were struggling, guys weren't hitting. Judge went on stretches, hitting eight home runs in seven games or some crazy stretch like that, over and over again.
Okay, so compare that, that's a lot more.
It is not 62.
And the thing with Aaron Judge that a lot of people overlook. Oh, they were saying, oh, he's choking. I would say he was choking if he wasn't batting like 390 the entire time going from 60 to 62. He went a while without hitting those two home runs, but he did it. And I'd say it was a choke job if he wasn't hitting 400 over that stretch. Another thing to note, I think Judge felt the pressure a little bit towards the end. I think Judge is the most team player you'll ever see, and Judge, once the Yankees clinched the division, all eyes on Judge for him to break that record. That's the only reason he was playing, and that's the only reason people were going to games. And I think that he was feeling a little bit of pressure because he's such a team player that he wasn't used to playing just for himself. And that is why I think it took a little bit longer than expected for him to hit those final two.
Well, he got the job done, and that's the main important thing. Because, I mean, look, really, in 30 years, what are we going to be talking about? You're like, oh, Aaron Judge, you know, he had like a dozen bats. Oh, he sucked. Yeah. No one's saying that now. And no one's going to remember that, I feel like.
No one remembers that now. Everyone's just talking about number 66.
62. And he hit it at Globe Life Field in Texas, where every achievement in baseball happens, despite it being the Rangers' park, to the other team.
Yeah.
It is the most remarkable thing I've ever seen. Corey Kluber, signed to the Rangers, pitches 17 pitches for them and blows out his shoulder.
It goes to the Yankees, throws a no-hitter at Globe Life Park.
On Corey Kluber bobblehead day. You guys know that?
Was it?
Yeah, they gave away, they had a bunch of bobbleheads on the back lot.
That was all over this, you know.
That's really funny.
And they gave them out that day.
That is really funny.
A no-hitter. Obviously, the Dodgers won their 60-game Disney Not Real World Series in Globe Life Field.
Hey, I got a question for you two. Does this Dodge record get broken ever?
I think it's probably gonna be another 50 years. I think it's gonna have to be the right player, right conditions, right league. So American National, you can probably depend on parks how they are in 50 years. But I think it's possible. It's gonna take a long time though.
You put Juan Soto in Yankee Stadium, maybe.
I think he hits 70.
If you put Mike Trout in Yankee Stadium, he hit 40 home runs this year and missed like 60 games. He could do it. I think there are players right now playing baseball that could do it if you're doing the right thing.
You brought Mike Trout. If the Angels get that new owner and the owner wants to do a rebuild, let's say Mike goes to New York, that's actually impossible for the record that's probably going to be that.
Well, yeah, you know, there's news on that front. The Angels are not going to have really a manager search.
Yes,
they have given Phil Nevin, who is the interim manager, they have given him a one-year contract to return to the team in 2023 as the full manager, and I'm going to explain why I think that's a move that the Angels made without trying to win. I think they're going to sell the team. Artie Moreno is going to, you know, sell the team, and I think that the Angels are just going to continue to suck for these next couple of years. They're going to get Ohtani off the books in 2024. I don't know if they trade Trout, but I think they're going to get Ohtani off the books in 2024. They're going to sell the team around that time, and I think this is a move that's made to kind of keep the Angels down.
I do want to say one thing before we move on from Judge. He hit 32 homers on the road.
Wow.
That's actually. Well, I thought Yankees Park would.
32 homers on the road. I think that is one of the most impressive stats of the season with Judge's season.
I would agree.
30 at home, 32.
A lot of players don't even have 32 home runs.
Everybody says Mickey Mouse Ballpark to get more home runs on the road.
Not a Mickey Mouse Ballpark.
It's historic. Yeah. That's what it is.
Yep. Yeah, sure. Okay. Well, Yankee Stadium debates aside, like I said, great achievement for baseball. I think this is great for baseball. You can see a non-juiced hitter hit that. Not that Maris was juiced.
Give him a blank check, please. Cashman, I beg you.
If I caught
the 60-second home run, I'd say, Judge, you get this ball back when you sign an extension.
That's all I'm asking for.
I can just
imagine when we're doing the, if we're able to still do this show next semester, which I'm not sure, but if we are, and he goes to Boston.
I've got him the show. I'm quitting life. I will not be a Yankee fan. I will turn to the Braves because they're my second favorite team. As much as I want to stay loyal, if Aaron Judge goes to the Boston Red Sox, I'm off the grid.
If he went to the Braves, fine.
I won't worry about him until the World Series.
God, I wish.
I'd be extremely pissed that he's not on the Yankees anymore, but then it's Jason Dominguez time, the Martian. Bring that 18-year-old god up, let him work, and then he'll turn into the next Aaron Judge.
Yeah, I don't think Boston's a viable candidate. I feel, and I hope not, I don't think Boston deserves him the way they've handled their big stars, the way they've handled their cap the last few seasons.
Yeah, like what happens with Xander Bogaerts? Like
he's gone anyway. I think he's gone whether Judge comes or not.
I think they're going to try just to appease the fans.
Bogaerts is gone, Devers stays. That's my prediction for the Red Sox free agency situation. But we'll have plenty of time to talk about that. I think that Aaron Judge is not going to return to the New York Yankees. I think that Aaron Judge is going to go play ball out west for the San Francisco Giants.
He'll be the first righty to ever hit one into the McCovey Cove.
Wait, no, he's going to go play for the Colorado Rockies. He's going to pull Chris Bryant.
Oh, my God. If he plays in Colorado, he's hitting 100 homers.
Yeah.
Or 100.
I wouldn't even pitch to him. It'd be April.
Oh, my God. He'd be part of the war, just dropping bombs left and right. Like 100 homers minimum in Colorado, I think.
But then you got to look at Chris Bryant, who didn't hit a single home run in Colorado this season.
Is that true?
It is. And he makes $182 million total valuation.
That has to be like, that's still like the strangest offseason.
That's the biggest fleece I've ever heard.
Yeah.
What? And he didn't one home run?
I can say this for the Giants. I will be excited to see Aaron Judge play for them. It's going to suck for New York fans even more.
Not accepting it until it's actually happening.
Because, well, that's what we all said about Freddie and the Dobbins, and we have to eat that every day. I think that it's going to be even more painful for New York fans because you've lost him, in essence, to a historic New York franchise, whether he goes to the Dodgers, God forbid, or whether he goes to the Giants.
I don't think it has ever happened in history of the sport that after a season like this, you let the guy walk. We have the money to do it. I think a big part of whether Aaron Judge stays or not is the outcome of the Yankees season this season. If the Yankees are another ALDS failure and they don't make it past the ALDS, Judge, as much as he wants to stay in New York and bring a championship back to New York, he's gone. If we make it to the championship series or make it to the World Series, I think he stays.
So as you and the Yankees fan, would you be accepting that?
I would not be accepting of it, but I would understand his thought process. Okay. But I would not be accepting of it if he left, no matter what.
Well, it seems to me like it's stupid anyway.
Give him 7 years, 380, 390. I don't 400. I don't care.
I would say 8 400, and I would do it if I was.
Do it.
Yeah.
Give him 7 400 with a player option. I don't care.
100%. I think there's no conversation in no universe.
It's past the durability BS that people were saying. He's won two straight seasons playing 155 plus games. That's all BS now. He's proved all the haters wrong. He's had the best season of a hitter ever. Give him a blank check. I do not care. Give him what you would give everybody combined. I don't care. He is our franchise. I don't care if he's 30. Give him everything, no matter what. If he leaves, I leave.
Aaron Judge should be paid more than a tanking team's payroll.
That's
my philosophy.
Yeah, Judge should be paid the payroll of the entire major leagues. Give him $1 billion. I don't care.
I mean,
why not?
If you can have any role to make that happen, Luke, I would encourage you to do it.
I'll chip in.
I mean, whatever
my life savings for him to stay.
I think whatever you think you can do, you should do to make this happen. I don't think there's any conversation.
Start a GoFundMe for the Yankees. Okay.
I don't think there should be any conversation that does not revolve around keeping Aaron Judge.
I just cannot see Aaron Judge walking from the Yankees. It is obviously his choice.
He will become a free agent.
I think Cashman matches every offer that is put towards Judge. But it's up to Judge.
Let's say a team, you say that.
Although Judge was wearing a sweatshirt saying New York forever.
No. Yeah, let me say this. There's always a team that tries to troll the Yankees or tries to troll like a big team by like throwing this insane offer.
It was the Rays.
Yeah, like the Rays. Like they always try to bump it up. Like, what's the acceptable number as a Yankees fan before you say, "All right, that's enough"? We've got this cup.
450, 500.
So okay, you agree with me. Like half a billion is possible.
Give it. I just wish
the year value.
If I had one genie wish, it would be to make Aaron Judge 24 again.
Oh, if he were
give that man 20 years, $1 billion.
I'm going to explain this to you guys. If Aaron Judge were 24 right now, this is what I believe. I believe they would give him like a 16 or 17 year contract worth like $580 to $600 million. I kid you not.
I could see $750. Yeah. I'm not even kidding. Give him the house. Screw the house that Babe Ruth built. Give him the entire stadium. Give him ownership in the team. I don't care.
Aaron Judge,
make him stay in New York.
It would be basically a sliver.
Give him the option to be a coach when he retires, own the team when he retires. Give him everything. I don't care. Give him the team plane, Lambos, everything.
If he were 24,
Jim Bowie,
there's no amount that you couldn't convince me that I would pay this kid. And I think that
I wish it was a kid. He's 30.
Yeah, but you know, it's I don't know. Like, but if Juan Soto did this, Juan's 23.
He's getting $500 to $700 million.
Yeah.
He's 23.
No, no question. 5 to 7. 5 is the floor. In today's era. I mean, Chris Bryant is making nearly $200 million, and we're knowing how that worked out in the first season, and it wasn't good. So I think if we can get to that point, we can get to a point where somebody like that at that age would get like $600 million. And I think he should get four something at least. I think 430 or so is the floor for Aaron Judge right now. Okay. I think 430 is the floor. I would be prepared to offer him if I wanted to.
430 is the floor is really high. For how many years are you saying over this span?
Assuming the year number is higher, like if it was a 10-year deal. I know you probably won't get a 10-year deal, but let's say for argument's
30,
sake.
I think the max he gets is 8.
I think 8, 380 to 410 would be a ballpark number.
8 years, 420. I don't care. Give him 7 years, 400 with an option on the on an 8th year for 25 million a year.
I believe that there should be no conversation. I mean, he will become a free agent. Here's my prediction. I think that Aaron Judge is going to hit free agency this winter. He will be offered by teams. The Yankees are going to want to gauge what teams are willing to pay for him. There are going to be three main teams that are willing to break the bank for Aaron Judge, and that is the New York Mets.
Oh, my God. If he went to the Mets, the Red Sox, or any AL team other than that, words can't describe that.
The Los Angeles Dodgers.
Same with that. He can't leave. No.
And the team I think he will be playing for.
No.
The San Francisco Giants. Those are the three main teams that I think are going to be in on Aaron Judge.
Goes to the Dodgers, man. Like, that is MLB The Show rookie mode with no salary cap.
All the sliders turned up.
That is not fair.
I don't think the Boston Red Sox are a legitimate team. I think they'll offer him. I think they'll call the Yankees, and I wouldn't even pick it up if I was Captain. Mm-hmm. I would see the Boston area code, and Shane Bloom's going to be on the other end of the line of his phone, all hopeful that it's going to be like a 200 and something number, and he's not even going to be answered. But I guess we'll see about all that. I think there are going to be some teams that emerge out of the woodwork that make offers that maybe aren't going to have an opportunity to land him, but, I mean, it's worth putting in for, and I think you're going to see more of that. I think you're going to see some teams do that. The only two teams I could say for certain are out are the two teams that are in the process of being sold, the Nationals and the Angels. Those teams aren't going to be in on him.
You think every other team is in on
him? I'm saying this for argument's sake. I think teams will make calls that know they don't have a serious chance of landing him, but I think that they're still going to want to at least gauge interest and gauge the market and see where things are. I mean, there really isn't a market for a player like this, with contracts being what they are now and as large as they are.
This man bet on himself.
Price of the brick going up.
In a contract season, and he provided the best season possible. There's one thing to do if you are Brian Cashman and you ask Aaron Judge, what do you want? Aaron Judge is going to say, I want a lengthy contract for north of $450 million. And Cashman will then say, okay, here you go. And then...
Sir, here is a check with my name on it. Yes.
That is what Cashman needs to do. Aaron Judge will take the pen, write the number, and sign his damn name. And he will be back on the Yankees for a revenge tour, because we're probably not winning the World Series this year, but we'll win it next year because he'll be back. Revenge tour, or we'll win it this year and we'll win it next year too.
Yeah.
29 on the way. Screw 28. 29 on the way.
Well, after that spirited and impassioned conversational rant from Luke, I thank you for that, Luke, because I think it really paints a great picture of where things stand for Yankees fans. So I appreciate it. We're going to go to our second break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about these wild card series. We're going to tell you who we got, the matchups, and how we feel about it, and then we're going to close things out and play with you. Keep it here on 90.7.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back into Student Section MLB here on 90.7 The Capstone. We've had a great show so far. We're bringing it home. I am Will Miller, joined by my co-host
Luke Torrey.
In person, too.
And we promised wild card breakdowns out of this break, but unfortunately, Marcus Stroman was an idiot on Twitter again, and I feel like
his stupid tweets.
We have to at least broach the subject before we move on. Luke, would you do the honors?
Quote from Marcus Stroman: Judge is having one of the most historic seasons of all time, but how do you not give the MVP to Otani? What he's doing has never been done before and may never happen again. Both players are more than deserving. There's no wrong option. To which Judge's teammate and the mustache man himself, Matt Carpenter, responds to puking emojis, which I love because he's backing up his boy. Marcus Stroman's an idiot. We've seen it before. We see it again here.
I'm going to step in and say he has it.
Oh, boy.
Okay, Carson, please elaborate.
I'm not even going
to. Otani has had an incredible season. Look, like I said before.
62.
Yes, I agree with you. But
311 batting average.
Judge did not pitch and bat at the same time.
Hey, Judge's ERA is 0 as far as I'm concerned.
That is true. Aaron Judge has a 0 ERA this season. As far as I'm concerned, Judge is...
Okay, look, I agree it probably should be Judge on the principle of the home run.
Probably. Dude, it's unanimous. Well, let me He's going to be unanimous.
I am on your side. I am saying the man, albeit the hot takes machine, has a point. So, Otani has had a great season. He's, again, an amazing two-way player. He can pitch, he can hit. But, again, I Judge should win it, in my opinion. But if Otani wins it, I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't think people should complain about it.
There is going to be a riot in New York. I can assure you that. My fan base, as loyal as we are, as controlled as we are, there is a side of us that will go dark. And if Judge does not win MVP this season after being robbed from MVP in 2017 to that midget over in Houston, little person, that's not the term anymore, there is going to be riots down Broadway.
Well, that is a very pointed way of putting it.
Sorry.
That is an extremely pointed way of putting it.
I apologize.
Aaron Judge absolutely should win the Most Valuable Player Award. I don't think there's any way, shape, or form that you... And I'm not trying to gang up on you, Garson.
Yeah.
I just think there's no way Aaron Judge can't win it after setting a home run record for, some would argue, like I said at the top of the show.
I'm saying he should. And I am saying...
No, he will. Not he should, he will. He is winning MVP, and if he doesn't, like I said...
I am saying it is reasonable if Otani wins it. I'm going to take the bet.
If Otani wins it this year, Otani wins it every single year until he retires. That is
what's
a fact.
What's wrong with that?
What do you mean, what's wrong with that?
62.
Listen to this. Aaron, okay. Jose I'm getting confused with these names. Shohei Otani is the league's most valuable player.
Yep.
But Aaron Judge is the most valuable god player this season, and he will win it this year. I don't care if Shohei wins it next year, unless Judge puts up if anybody puts up a season that is better. If Otani wins it this year, then he wins it next year, unless there's a season like this to compete against it.
What if he doesn't have a great season next year? Then I think people have the right to say, well, he might have gotten robbed.
No, I don't think anybody has the right to say that Otani is robbed of an MVP from this season of Aaron Judge. The best offensive season
in the history of the
history of Major League Baseball.
I am agreeing with you.
I think if people think that Otani should win MVP this year, then I think we go into every season with Shohei Otani being the MVP until somebody beats him out as it.
I shudder to think what would happen if Jose Altuve wins another MVP.
Jose Altuve won MVP this year?
Oh my god. But like if he won another one in general, what would Luke say about it? Like I shudder to think. But moving on from that, we have got to get to wild card because this is postseason baseball week. It is singularly the greatest week out of the year, and no amount of homework is going to dissuade my position on this. I love postseason baseball week. I hate homework, but nothing can diminish my joy. We have the wild card round beginning this Friday, 3 p.m. Central Time, the best time of the year, and we have a set of basically six teams each side. We have an expanded format. I'm going to remind everybody before we go further. We have an expanded format this season. We're going to have, it used to be, five teams from each league and four and five play in one game playoff. Now,
it is going to be six teams in each league. One and two get a bye. Now, three and six are going to play, and four and five are going to play, each in a three-game wild card series at the home park of the higher seed. That's how things have changed this year. So with that being said, six teams on both sides. What are our matchups?
So, of course, you have Rays at Guardians, Phillies at Cardinals, Mariners at the Blue Jays, and then Padres at Mets. So
let's go through each one and take our picks down.
Yes. But I was going to say, so it is actually, it's scheduled pretty well. So, for
like
example, you mentioned 3 p.m. actually is the start time. That's incorrect. It is actually right now, Rays at Guardians starts at 12:07 p.m. EST.
Even freaking better. Let's go, people. 11 a.m. postseason baseball.
These Friday games are perfect because they're basically when one's coming to an end, unless it's like, you know, not a blowout, or the next one's starting. We do have one on ABC. That's Phillies at Cardinals. That's at 2:07 p.m. Eastern. And then you have Mariners at Blue Jays, and then Padres at Mets wrapping up on ESPN. So Friday's pretty good. Saturday, I'm not the biggest fan of the schedule because you have kind of the same times. You have a game at 12:07 Eastern, 4:07 Eastern, and then you have Padres at Mets starting at 7:37 Eastern, and then Phillies at Cardinals starting an hour later on ESPN2. And then Sundays, same kind of times. So, but again, those are all Sundays is all game three. So,
all right.
Let's get with the first series. We got the American League Central Division champions, Cleveland Guardians. They've made the playoffs on the back of Jose Ramirez, one of their best players in recent franchise memory for my money, versus the Tampa Bay Rays, the forever upstarts out of the American League East. But for the first time in two seasons, they did not win the division. So they're now going to be playing the wild card game, or the wild card series, more accurately.
I think we can all name who we all think is going to win this series. Everyone want to say it at the same time?
One, two, three.
Rays. I think the Rays.
I think Cleveland's going to win it.
I thought we would all be unanimous on the Rays. Wow.
I think Guardians win a game. I think it goes Rays, Guardians, Rays.
I think it'll go Guardians, Rays, Guardians, and
honestly, as a Yankee fan, coming because the winner of that plays the Yankees, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
Either team, I'm fine with. I think either team we match up well with, and I think we then go on to. I'm not gonna say it, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just again, the Rays. It's the Rays. They always have a weird postseason where they're either really bad or they're really good. I just see another season.
They did just get Glasnow back.
Yeah.
I think that the Cleveland's pitching performance will show up. You know, you've got Justin McKenzie.
He's a stud. I love that guy. I love that slender man-looking guy. He is a stud. I like Aaron Civale. I like
Zach Plesac. I think he's going to do well.
You know who I absolutely despise?
Who?
I don't even know what his name is. The reliever, Karnacek. Oh, my God. I hate that guy.
Oh, Adam.
I hate that guy.
He's the guy that they like relievers named Adam because Adam Simber used to close games for them for years. Actually, I say close. He was like a setup man for Cody Allen. But,
that dude was like pitching against the Yankees in an 8-2 Yankees lead game, and he struck out Judge and was walking over the dugout like Conor McGregor. He struck out Judge in an 8-2 game, and he like walked back to the dugout like Conor McGregor knocking out a dude.
Yeah.
Which may never happen again.
Yeah.
Don't say that. I love Connor.
Yes. He's coming back at 170.
You know I love Connor.
All right. Anyway, race in three for me, Will.
I think I'm going Cleveland in three. I think starting pitching, I've said countless times, and I'm going to say it countless more times, so brace yourselves. Postseason baseball pitching is obviously the name of the game, and I think that it's Cleveland's biggest on-paper strength, and I think it's going to show up, and they're going to get the job done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got race in three.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an N3 series, but that's just me. All right, Phillies at Cardinals. I'm going personally.
Let's do a 1-2-3 again.
All right.
1-2-3.
Cardinals.
I'm taking the Phillies, and here's why. Phillies have not made the playoffs in a very long time.
11 years.
A very long time. I think guys like Bryce Harper, guys like Rhys Hoskins.
How great is it going to be to see Bryce Harper back?
Who has not played in the playoffs in his career, Rhys. Mm. Are going to feel very motivated to beat this Cardinals team, and I see them win.
That's true. All right, I'm going with Cardinals in three. I think Philly's going to try their best to keep the Cardinals out from moving on farther, and I think the Phillies won the Braves, but fortunately, I love the Phillies as a Braves fan, but I can't see it.
I believe that Jordan Montgomery, who has been a key acquisition for St. Louis, yeah, the way he's pitching now, you should.
Well, I love Bader. I love Bader. I absolutely love Bader.
I believe Jordan Montgomery was probably one of the most critical trade deadline additions in baseball this season.
The final seconds, too, of
the
trade deadline.
Yeah, like 5 minutes left. Yep. And so I think he's going to set the tone for the Cardinals. And from there, the Cardinals have a – the Cardinals have lived and died on the base paths. Yeah. It amazes me. And I think they're going to do it again. They've got a great – they have great veterans, but obviously we've talked about they have a fantastic young core. I think they're going to show up. I think they're going to play well. Some of them even have playoff experience. So I think they're going to play well. I think they're going to outclass the Phillies.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a two-game series. And I think they're just going to outclass the Phillies. This Phillies team, apart from Bryce, really doesn't have playoff experience. I mean, I think that they're going to have moments, but is it going to be enough to sustain success against a very established postseason team with postseason experience and great players? I do not.
Yeah, I think it's a surprise pick by me, but yeah, I got Phillies in three, honestly. I see them coming out firing on all cylinders, guys who are motivated, guys who have not had a chance to play in the playoffs, 11-year drought, and my guy, Bryce Harper, is going to absolutely...
If Bryce Harper rakes, the Phillies win the series. Yeah. I
got the Phillies in three.
It's hard to
moving
say
on
Phillies
to
don't
play
win.
The Braves, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think this and probably the other NL series are probably the two hardest to decide. But all right, moving on to the next one: Mariners at Jays.
1, 2, 3,
Jays.
I think we all said the Jays. Yeah. Look, Mariners, this is awesome.
They are my dark horse to go farther, but yeah. I do have the Blue Jays advancing.
Yeah.
But I would not be surprised if the Mariners win that series.
I'm not so. I think the Mariners need a bit more postseason experience before they move on. I can't see this.
That's a sound bite. They have zero.
Yeah.
How about my boy Cal Raleigh, though? He's a MLB The Show hero for me. I hit a walk-off with him about a month and a half ago on my cousin's PS4. So shout-out to him. He's now etched into baseball lore. I wouldn't even – if I were a Mariners fan, I legitimately wouldn't be opposed to them building him a statue. But I believe the Blue Jays are very motivated. I think that's going to come down to being the deciding factor. I think the Blue Jays' talent is very explosive and on a level that maybe some of the Mariners players are not. Obviously, Vladdy's bat is a...
I hate Bo Bichette with a burning passion.
Huge.
I hope he hears this, too.
Yeah, I hope Bo Bichette has listened to our show. I really do. Views are our own, each individual host of this show, for the record. We would appreciate Major League traffic on this show. But I believe the Blue Jays are going to win the series in three games. I don't think it'll be a two-game series, but I think the Blue Jays are going to win. And they have... starting pitching too.
Yeah.
You know, Kevin Gausman has
Alec Manoah
shown up. Alec Manoah, all-star this season, has become also, you know, one of the better characters of baseball. And I think that's a heck of a 1-2. It's as good as any in the American League when they're on form. The resurgence Kevin Gausman has had since he was traded from the Baltimore Orioles has been truly, I think, a great testament to other pitchers. To what they can, you know, maybe if they're in the doldrums or they're in a bad situation, what a change of scenery can do for them. Because in addition to the success he's had, he's making a buttload of money.
Yeah.
And so I think the Blue Jays are going to win in two games.
Yeah, I disagree. I think Blue Jays are going to win in three. I think most of these series besides one is going to, stay a three-game series. But again, like I said, postseason experience is valuable. Mariners have room to none. So, all right, last one. Padres at Mets.
1, 2, 3.
Padres.
Yes.
In two.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Padres are getting hot. The Mets are in a weak position.
Pulling off.
They played a hot Braves. They played a cold, done Nationals. They play a hot Padres next. It's over. It's over.
Yeah, I believe the Padres win it in two. The Mets, the reality is the Mets can say what they want. This is going to be a huge strain to their mentality, losing that series against the Braves and not getting the NL East, particularly with all the media coverage and all the everything that's been going on. I really believe the Mets are going to struggle with that. I think that, yeah, it's easy to beat the Nationals this season, but the Mets are going to have a really hard time, even in their home field, if this Padres power lineup starts going off. they are not going to have many answers. Jacob DeGrom has just not been on form. I previously thought the outing in Oakland was an aberration after the Braves, and I think he got in his head a little bit. I no longer think that. I think that if he mows through the first three or four innings, potentially we could have a different conversation about game one, but I believe that he's going to give up a couple of long balls in this Padres lineup. That's going to set the tone for the series, and the Mets are just going to get overwhelmed.
Okay, I have a really hot prediction for game two of this series. If the Mets lose game one, I think Citi Field will turn on these Mets. I think it's going to be chaos. Like, I think there'll be boos. I think there'll be...
I don't know if you're going to say they weren't going to show up.
Well, I think it could be that. And like, did you see there are already fans with paper bags over their heads for the National Series? Like, this, the fans have quickly turned on the Mets. So I think game two could be very bad crowd-wise and how kind of like the fans' attitudes are if the Mets lose the first game.
I hope so. I'd love to see that and throw things on the field. Well, we don't want anybody throwing things on the field because it's a safety hazard for numerous reasons. But
we've seen it once this year.
Yeah.
Yankees Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
That game.
Yeah. That's Miles Straw, former Astros player on the cheating team. No, sorry, Luke. he was, though, in 2019. And I just don't see the Mets being able to pick themselves up effectively enough to win this series. And that's why I'm saying the Mets are going to lose decisively. I mean, the stretch they've gone through and all the energy from the media, coverage from the media, the way it's been directed is really going to have an impact on this team. When you look at a guy like Buck Showalter, who, for as accomplished as he is, hasn't managed in years, he isn't familiar with this group beyond this season. DeGrom, if he's not his best self, I don't know how much I trust Chris Bassett in the playoffs after Oakland in 2020. There are too many question marks that combined with what they've been going through in the past week and a half, I have zero faith in these Mets.
Yeah, again, I just can't see it. I got to go with the Padres. If they were to give a NLDS with the Padres versus...
I'll give my score predictions for that. I think the Padres win game one 4-2, and I think the Padres win game two 12-4. They're going to come out hot, ready to move on.
Man, who's going to be Scherzer?
Yeah. Sorry, Scherzer, you're getting rocked, my boy. You are getting rocked.
We can
12-4.
Can only hope. Well, we're going to wrap things up with our players of the week in the American and National Leagues, and we're going to predict who we think is going to make an impact in the postseason. So I'm going to start with my American League player of the week. And statistics out the window, he hit the important home runs. Aaron Judge is my American League player of the week. The accomplishment he had this season will not be seen again for a significant amount of time, if not ever. That's why he's deserving of this American League Player of the Week award from me. Second off, my National League Player of the Week is Dansby Swanson, shortstop for the Atlanta Braves, also soon to be free agent. He showed up. He answered the bell two nights in a row against Jacob DeGrom and Max Scherzer, and there's not much you can say other than that. Dansby Swanson is the National League Player of the Week.
Took the words out of my mouth, the same two choices I had. I mean, again, the historic home run for Judge. All right, that's basically it. Dansby Swanson showed up, like you said. He had it, and he hit important home runs. They weren't just, like, meaningless. They were needed home runs. They got the Braves in positions where they could keep that momentum going, and they just allowed the team to keep going, keep going, keep going. So, yeah.
I'm going to go with a little bit of a surprise here. AL, Aaron Judge.
Right.
I'm kidding. And NL, I'm going to go Mike Harris. I love that. I love that dude. He's slowly becoming a superstar. He's one of my favorite players to watch. And he has shown day in and day out that he is a big part of that lineup for the Braves. And I would honestly love to see a Yankees-Braves World Series.
I would not. They won 4-0 last time.
Yeah, that's why I'd love to see it.
No one more.
All right.
Well, that's going to do it for tonight. We've had a fantastic show, as you would expect, no less, because of postseason baseball week, which should motivate you to tune in next week. We'll be in the thick of postseason baseball. It will well and truly be postseason baseball week. Next Wednesday night, we will have all your updates from the Major League Baseball playoffs, the best postseason in professional sports. For now, thank you for tuning in on this Wednesday night to Student Section MLB. I'm Will Miller, Luke Torrey,
and Carson Field.
And we wish you a hearty Roll Tide and a happy playoff week on 90.7 Roll Tide.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.